All right, well, that's our little video. We're really excited about the school there that we've been working with. Let's see, we've been in Guatemala for 5 years, but in 2012, we moved to Jutiapa. That's where the school is. Moved to Jutiapa to work with Jonathan. We had 6 or 8 students in 2012. In 2013, we had about 13 to 15 students. This year, we had about 20, 25 students, and we already have 9 new kids coming for next year's school. So we are busting at the seams. So we've got a lot of things to pray about. We'd like to introduce you to our Dave. Go ahead and roll. This is next slide. This is our staff. I think it's our staff. Like I said, we've been there for 5 years, and just a lot going on. We've got kids ranging in age from 5 years old all the way up to 68. We have a 68-year-old student. So we have, Jonathan and Outer. Jonathan is the director of the school. His wife, Outer, they're both deaf. Okay, next slide. There we go. Ingrid and Gustavo, they're both deaf. Gustavo was our pastor when we started 5 years ago. He's deaf. He was the pastor of the deaf church where we attended, and he's the one that taught us sign language. Guatemalan sign language is different than ASL. Okay, it's different than ASL. So this is his wife. I had the privilege of marrying them 3 years ago. Next slide. This is Phoebe, and of course our daughter Julia, but Phoebe is hearing. She graduated from a seminary there in Guatemala, and she got a degree in child development and education, and she's the one that organized the zoo trip and the swimming. That was not us. That was not Guatemala Deaf Ministries. She did the whole thing. She is an absolute fireball. Next slide. This is Elvis and Yulisa. They're both hearing. Elvis was our pastor at our old church, and he was leaving that church and looking for a job, and so we got him to come to work for us last year in 2013, and so he and his wife are working for us. Next slide. This is our son Luke. Luke is our cook. He's probably the only 16-year-old boy that you guys know of that could cook for 60 people. No problem. When Jeanette and Julia left to be here for the birth of our fourth grandchild, Luke and I stayed, and we made a deal. I said, you cook for everybody, you know, 45, 50, 55 people, something like that. You cook for them, I'll clean the house. So I cleaned the toilets and the floors and scrubbed everything down. He did all the cooking. So I thought it was a good arrangement myself. Next slide. This is Edwin and Heidi. Edwin works in the carpentry shop. There, I don't know if you guys remember the last year's slide and the little video, and they did a little kiss, and I said that they were getting married. They live in Mita, if you guys remember that. Anyway, they're getting married the 28th of February. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. So Heidi doesn't know anything about cooking, so Jeanette's going to be teaching her how to cook, and she wants to clean our house to make a little money. Next slide. We'd like to hire Paquita. We're really praying about Paquita. Paquita was actually Gustavo's teacher many years ago, and she has come out to visit us. She lives in the city, so she's thinking about coming out. We need to talk to her and her husband and how exactly that would work for her to come out and teaching. She is deaf, and she's a wonderful lady. She is for what we know, what we can understand, she's the only graduated deaf person in Guatemala, graduated from university, excuse me. So she has got a lot of neat ideas. Wonderful, wonderful lady. Next slide. Okay, so, man alive, you gave me an hour, didn't you? An hour and a half, something like that? Yeah. Anyway, this was a this was a ministry that went on Friday. This was just 2 days ago. This was a pastor, as a long story, I don't have time to go into it, but a pastor donated 125 pairs of shoes plus money to put on a Happy Birthday Jesus Christmas party, and this is what they did. So we had a lot of our staff and a lot of helpers, that friends of ours that came from the city to help us put this on. Next slide. We hired a miming company called Pintando Corazones, which is Painting Hearts, and they did some sign language and some miming and stuff. It was real fun. They also had, next slide, they also had food, next slide. They also had piñata, next slide. And they gave away shoes, 125 pairs of shoes. And, you know, you don't think, you know, we take for granted shoes. I mean, how many of you guys went this morning and you had to decide what pair of shoes to put on this morning? I mean, you know, should I put this one or that style? Or, you know, they don't have that option in Guatemala. In fact, one day we had, we picked up the kids, in the bus run, and one of the kids didn't come. And so we sent Elvis to go after him. Turns out he didn't have any shoes. He didn't want to come to school because he didn't have any shoes. Well, Jeanette, we dropped the kids off at school. Jeanette and I came back, grabbed him, and we went and bought him a pair of shoes. And he was thrilled. So now all the kids got shoes, about 30 deaf kids and another 90 or 95 hearing kids in this very, very poor area. This is a very poor church here. The pastor makes $25 a month. So be thankful. Next slide. This was the whole group picture that we took. So it's an exciting ministry, a lot going on. We've got our house is bursting at the seams. We're looking for another house nearby that we can put people up in. We've got to change our rooms into classrooms because we're expecting about 40, 45 kids this coming year. So please be praying for us and for them. It's just really neat to be able to teach these little kids. So next slide. Into the message. Are you willing to change? This is what I want to talk about this morning. And I want to talk about Peter. I started teaching on Peter just about a month or two before coming here. Luke and I landed on October 7th. So my teaching, I preach every Sunday in one church one Sunday and then two churches on the next Sunday. And then so I alternate back and forth. And we've been teaching about the life of Peter. You know, Peter was a really impetuous guy. Next slide. He and his brother Andrew were fishermen. And Jesus, they were one of the first disciples to be called by Jesus. And so Jesus came up to him and said, hey, you guys need to be my disciples. And so they left their fishing nets and they went to be with Jesus. They went with Jesus. Next slide. Now they lived in Bethsaida, which is way up there on the top of the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias. And next slide, you look way down where Jerusalem is. It was, I think it was like 81 miles as the crow flies, but it was almost double that by the time you walked it and everything. So it was a long ways. Next slide. Now, Peter was this guy. If you remember, Peter was always jumping out there, always opening his mouth, always doing something, and a lot of times it was getting him into trouble. And we have the story, if you remember, that Jesus fed the 5,000, And then after feeding the 5,000, they took up the 12 basketfuls of bread. And then at the end of it, Jesus told the disciples, you get in a ship and you go to the other side. I'll meet you a little bit later. And he went off to pray. Well, during the middle of the night, the waves and the winds were tumultuous. And I mean, it was just whoosh. And Jesus came walking on the water. And the disciples in the boat, they looked off and they said, you know, who is it? And says, Jesus, is that you? And, you know, if it's you, then Peter says, then bid me to come to you. And so Jesus says, come. So Peter gets out of the boat and he starts walking on top of the water. But then what happened? He starts looking at his surroundings and, oh my goodness, what am I doing here? And then he starts sinking, okay? He's this guy that jumps out, yeah, I'm, you know, bid me to come out, you know, and he jumps into the water and he starts walking, but then, his faith is shaken and Jesus reaches down and pulls him up out of the water. Next slide. Okay, we have another story. Jesus asked the disciples, whom do men say that I am? And they said, oh, some John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Isaiah the prophet, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? And Peter jumps up and he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven. So Peter's listening to God, but what is the very, very next passages is, next slide, Jesus starts telling them, his disciples, that he's gonna be crucified, he's gonna die, he's gonna go into a grave, and 3 days later he's gonna be raised up, and Peter rebukes him and says, no, Jesus, this ain't gonna happen. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan, okay, and because you don't know what's going on, okay? So, you know, just a few minutes, just a short time before, Peter is hearing the voice of God saying, this is Jesus, this is my son. And he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then just a little bit later, he's listening to Satan saying, you know, no, this isn't going to happen to you. You know, this never happened to you. So he's this guy, kind of guy, he's just out there. Next slide. All right, so then one day, Jesus is inside a house, probably ministering, fellowshipping. Peter is outside, and a guy walks up and says, hey, does your Jesus pay taxes? And Peter says, oh, of course he pays taxes. And then he goes, oh, just a minute, let me go check. And so he runs into the house, and he starts to ask Jesus, you know, whether he pays taxes or not, and Jesus cuts him off and says, you know, the son of the king should not have to pay taxes. And that's another whole sermon. We won't get into that now. But the gist of it is that Jesus said, I tell you what, you go down and throw a cook into the sea and pull out a fish. That first fish that you pull out, well, there'll be a coin in there. You use that to pay taxes. But the point of this was that, you know, a guy came walking up and said, hey, does your Jesus pay taxes? And he jumps out with an answer, well, of course he does. Oh, let me go verify that. And then he runs into the house. So he's always quick to say something, always quick for action before thinking up here. Next slide. Okay, same thing with Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And Peter's sitting there and he's looking at that and he's going, you know, this ain't going to happen. So then Jesus comes to Peter and says, it's time for me to wash your feet. And Peter says, no, you're not washing my feet. No way. And Jesus says, well, you don't wash my feet. If I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me. That's it. And then what does Peter say? Oh, not my feet, Lord, but my whole body. And Jesus says, no, not, that's not needed, just your feet. And so, again, you know, Peter is just this guy. He's just jumping out there. He's quick with his mouth. Does that kind of remind you of somebody? You know, like, are we kind of like that a little bit sometimes? You know, I mean, my life, my mouth gets ahead of me, my actions, and then it's like, oh, gosh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. You know, and you know, we need to let the Holy Spirit kind of guide us and direct us. Next slide. Same thing with when Jesus was taken by the Roman guard, and Judas Iscariot walks up and kisses him and betrays him. What does Peter do? He takes out a sword and he cuts off the servant's ear. And, you know, just really quick to, you know, and Jesus says, whoa, 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 we're not going to live by this sword. We're not going to do that. Reaches down, picks up the ear, and he heals him. Okay, but Peter, again, just kind of really quick to jump out there. Next slide. Same thing with Jesus says, you know, Peter, you're going to deny me three times tonight before the cock crows. And Peter says, oh, no, not me, Lord. I would never do that. What happened? Peter, Jesus is taken. He's being interrogated. He's being beaten. And he's warming himself off a little ways. He's warming himself by a fire, and a woman comes up, a servant girl comes up and says, "Hey, aren't you part of Jesus' group? Aren't you a friend of his?" "No, I don't know him. Don't know him at all. Nope, not me." And three times that happened, and what happened? The cock crowed, and Peter was, he was a basket case, and he left. So again, this guy is just, you know, sometimes, you know, we need to kind of stop and step back, and even at this Christmas time, you know, we need to kind of step back and say, okay, you know, what does my life really mean? What am I supposed to do? And let's go to the next slide. This is John 21. Now I'm gonna teach this in Guatemalan sign language, and you guys tell me to see if you know what story it is. Okay, so don't look it up in your Bibles. Don't cheat. Okay, so you just have to. It's John 21, 1-17. All right. So the 153 fish, the two boats. Well, this is the turn. They're in the 40 days that Jesus was still walking. He was after the resurrection, still walking around. Peter and six other disciples were sitting there. They were bored. Peter says, hey, let's go fishing. They went out to go fishing. They didn't catch anything. They were throwing the net out on the left side of the boat. And Jesus said, throw it out on the right side of the boat. They caught 153 fish. So now I did that really fast because of time, but normally that would take at least double that time because I would have to explain things. But anyway, but again, here we have Peter, and he's, you know, Jesus is gone. He hasn't been around for a while, and yet Peter is like, you know, hey guys, let's go fishing. We got nothing else better to do. So just, you know, he's just not acting right. Next slide. Okay, now we come to Acts chapter 1. We have a change. Now remember, Jesus had told the disciples, you guys wait here in Jerusalem for the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit to do what? And the Bible says in Acts 1, I think it's 1:8, says to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world, to be witnesses, because you guys are going to receive power. So that's what they did. They waited in Jerusalem, and of course Peter then he begins to kind of take charge now. He's kind of feeling like, okay, I think I know what my calling is. He stands up. And of course, they were short one disciple because Judas hung himself, and so they ended up picking Matthias. Now, next slide. Now we come to Acts chapter 2, and in the beginning, it says that the Holy Spirit came on them as tongues of fire, and there was a mighty wind and rushing and everything, and they all began to speak in tongues and in other languages. And then what happened? Peter stands up, next slide there, and he starts preaching. Now this is an interesting part. So now he's taking charge even a little bit more. Next slide. He starts preaching, and he actually teaches from Joel chapter 2. And you know, this is Peter. Now if you guys remember, Peter is a disciple. He's a fisherman. He's not an educated man. In fact, in Acts chapter 4 verse 13, it talks that some of the men were, when Peter and John healed that one guy and they brought him before the court and they said, hey, you know, you can't be doing this, etc. And the guys are sitting there going, these are unlearned, ignorant men. Peter stands up and he starts preaching from Joel chapter 2, verses 20, and he quotes it almost verbatim. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This is right from Joel 28-32. And your sons and your daughters. Now this is the interesting part. It says your sons and your daughters. Okay, so we have boys and girls. We have, well, shall prophesy. Your old men. So we have the old and young. And your young men shall see visions. So we have sons, daughters, old, young. And then it says, and also upon your servants and upon the handmaids. So it doesn't matter what station of life you're in. So this is the kind of one of the themes that we teach the deaf in Guatemala. You're not anybody less just because you can't hear, and this is very, very important for them because they're even. Gosh, we heard a story yesterday about a girl who was deaf here in America, 25 years old, just a couple years ago, and her mom just wanted her to clean houses for the rest of her life. And she wanted to be a hairdresser, and she ended up going on to being a really nice hairdresser. But this is what this is the kind of thinking that they're into in Guatemala with the deaf, because you can't do anything, you're deaf. Next slide. Then it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, this is an important verse. And then we have the next one. It says, and then Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. Next slide. Repent is the Greek word metanoeo, which is to change your thinking and to change your inner heart. You guys remember a couple of years ago I taught you the word, next slide, for repent in Spanish is arrepentir, and in sign language, okay, everybody get, this is an A in sign language. Everybody get your A's out. You have to do it close because you don't want to clock this person next to you. So get your A's out. Your right hand is higher than your left hand, okay? So it's like this. Okay, now repent. Now look which way my hands are facing. Which way are my hands facing? Okay, they got to be facing that way. Okay, not like this. You want them like this. All right, now arrepentir, the sign language, the Guatemalan sign. This is not American sign. It's Guatemalan sign. Repent is this. Okay, it's a change of the mind, of the thinking, and of the heart. Okay, so that's arrepentir. All right, so next slide. So he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Next slide, to do what? To be witnesses of God's power in our lives. You know, when we leave here, we don't come here to church and we get our, you know, our nice, fuzzy, warm feelings. The choir was great. The worship is wonderful. We don't have worship in Guatemala because I have to listen to my computer music, and but then I can't hear anybody. And so, but you guys don't know how good you have it here. But it's not just here in this church. Your job starts when you walk out those doors and you go to the gas station, you go to the store, you go to a restaurant. Tomorrow you're going to start work, you're going to go to school. I think school is pretty much out. Maybe there's some more finals and stuff coming up. But there's places to go, people to minister to. Jim was talking today in Sunday school about going into a restaurant and praying for your food. What a witness that is to sit in a restaurant and pray and let other people know, hey, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm thankful for this food and I'm going to ask God to bless it and I'm going to thank him for it. So our job just doesn't end here, but we need that Holy Spirit to come in and change us so that we can start doing those things. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, God wants to change us into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Next slide. Peter, with the help of the Holy Spirit, was changed into the man that God could use for his glory. And we know Peter, my goodness, he went on, we're learning about, you guys are learning about Peter and Paul in Acts, in your Sunday school class. Peter went on to write 1st and 2nd Peter, and beautiful, wonderful book. Gosh, if we had time, we could go into the scripture that we use, 2 Peter 1:19. What a powerful teaching that is, if you go, that was in our video that we go. But what an opportunity we have at this Christmas time to let people know, all around us, our neighbors, our people at work and everything, that know that we are Christians. I am a Christian. And I'm going to let people know that, no, I love the Lord and the Lord loves me. And, you know, can I pray for you, or can I talk with you about Jesus, about my Savior and what he means to me? This is very important. So we want the Holy Spirit to come in. Now, we know that when we receive Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into us. But I kind of think the way I like to say it is that we need to give permission at times to the Holy Spirit to be working in our lives. You know, we as the demonstration this morning, you know, with the kids, you know, we pack our days full, so full of different things that we kind of leave, you know, praying and sharing and fellowship and all those other things, obeying God, we kind of leave those out. Oh, and then at that last minute, and I'm guilty too. I'm just as guilty as the next person. Okay, so I'm not standing up here saying, oh, I'm perfect. I got it all under control. I'm a missionary in Guatemala. I'm not saying that at all. I need just as much help as everybody else does. But we need to give the Holy Spirit permission to come and work in our lives, especially at this Christmas time. So, next slide. Will you allow God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to change you into the person that God can use for His glory? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves today, and especially at this season of the time of year with the birth of Jesus, and just what a neat time it is that we can get to, we can come and sing carols. And you know, a lot of people, this young man or young person that committed suicide, I mean, what a tragic thing to hear of at Christmas time, that somebody, I mean, we've got a party to come to this afternoon here at the church. Okay, there's things going on. We've got families. A lot of neat things are going on, but there are a lot of hurting people too. And we need to be those witnesses. Okay? Jesus said, told the disciples, you guys are going to receive the Holy Spirit so that you can be witnesses to me. We need to be those witnesses, folks. When we leave this church, we need to be those witnesses for Jesus. And thank God we're able to be witnesses down in Guatemala for the deaf people in Guatemala. And we thank you very much for your prayers, for your financial support. My goodness, this was a super busy year. And next year, oh my goodness, I can't even imagine what next year is going to be like. But let me close this time with prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we can be together, that we can learn about you and learn what your Bible says, Lord. It's so packed full of good things that we need to learn. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would help each and every one of us be the kind of person that you want us to be. Lord, change us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We bless you, we praise you, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.